they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues.
Very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way each Saturday from 9 a.m. right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. It has been 8,667 days since the Mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft, yet your loyal official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best footy panel on radio today. Your hosts are myself, WA Blues Chairman John Allen, along with panellists Melanie Hall, Chris Brainy... Brainy? We wish. We wish.
Surprising.
Chris Brownie and the cerebral assassin Craig Beck. Good morning to you first, Mr. Brainy. And mate, what's on the Blues footy brekkie menu today?
Well, Jack, sorry, John and listeners, we discuss all the Blues and AFL news, as well as previewing the remaining AFL round, including our expert tips. Our special guest live interview today is our very own illustrious leader, President of the Carlton Football Club, Mr. Mark Lejudice. We cross live, as always, to the hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the must-anticipated segment, The Shirt Front. We look at who's putting their hand up for senior selection from the Northern Blues. We give details of the upcoming WA Blues supporter event, the weekly whack, which I'm looking forward to, and anything else in footy that we can squeeze in right here on Breakfast with the Blues.
Thanks very much, Chris, and good morning for the first time to you also, Mel. And Brekkie with the Blues would not exist without a bit of help from our sponsors, would it, mate?
Not at all. We would like to thank WA Blues major sponsors, Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and the Carlton Football Club's home in WA, The Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane, for their ongoing support, which allows us to bring you the program each week.
And isn't The Empire going to be pumping next Sunday, 30th of June, for the pre-match function, expecting 500-plus loyal supporters down there. It is going to be rocking, isn't it, Mel?
It was electric, even last week, our first night event, and it was great. The lights, the big screen, it was brilliant.
I'll have to take your word for that. I was working, but apparently
it was fantastic.
Apparently
it was
really,
a fantastic
really good
evening. And the Ewok got angry at a... that was a Bombers game, wasn't it, mate?
He had a
supporter walk through the crowd. And
that was an Eagles supporter.
That was an Eagles supporter pretending to be a Bomber supporter wanting to sing the Essendon theme song in front of us all.
And he didn't know the words, and we were ropeable.
Yeah. Either way, full frontal lobotomies, go out and get one. Mel, while you're on the roll, mate, what have we got in AFL news this week?
Well, I think everyone who is interested in AFL has heard the majority of the news this week, and I just cannot get over the stupidity of people. I'm going to start, firstly, with the Hawthorn Football Club.
Jeff.
Okay? Dumb and dumber. Okay? I'm talking about Ben Stratton and Jeff Kennett. Okay, Ben, a week ago, got warned for his pinching. What? I'm getting whacked here. He got warned for his pinching and then got done again the next week. And now he's finally got 2 weeks. Idiot. Seriously, pinching has been happening in the game for a very long time. But pinching on the arm, making it so obvious, and the stomping.
Yeah. Oh, there was one obvious one. Craig Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was actually on the panel, the front bar during the week. Yeah. And then Jeff Kennett with his, everyone's up in arms about the supporters and the policing of everything in the crowd. Jeff just went about it the wrong way, made a racial innuendo that was not cool.
No.
And then keeping with the stupidity, let's move on to Collingwood. Okay. Sorry.
He's sitting right behind me.
He's... Gambling. Okay. This is something that I am going to bang on about this because I am up in arms. This young kid bet $36 with his mates. Okay. Three different bets. Young, stupid. Okay. Happy to play that card. But on the front bar, we advertise gambling. We advertise everything, sports bets everywhere. Mm. Come on. He's just been a kid.
Not just on the front bar.
It's everywhere.
$10 million AFL games and everything.
Everywhere. Yeah. What is this? This poor young kid's just been hanging out with his mate. Yes, he's contracted, but are you sitting there every minute thinking, what does my contract say when you're having a couple of beers with your mates?
They get they get educated from the moment they walk in. And I was listening, I think it was the GWS captain saying that they actually got to do so many seminars and get so many points up before they can actually play a game.
Yeah, right.
And that's drummed into them about gambling. So
so he is just stupid. So.
Look, I tend to agree with what a lot of the former players, experts, whatever, come out and say, though, like the hypocrisy surrounding it. And young kids will make stupid mistakes. Should they be penalised that harshly for it, or should they be re-educated?
The latter, John. I think he's been whacked really bad.
He's been slammed. Yeah, he's got 11 games.
10 games.
Is it 10 12 games?
Suspended.
12
suspended,
and 22
grand
weeks.
Fine. It's
20 grand fine.
Yeah. Anything else for us, Mel?
Keeping with the stupidity, the West Coast Eagles, what they did during
just the
week.
Just the West Coast Eagles?
In general. McGovern's tackle for the push in the back was just... completely intentional, and he's got a week for it. He's been offered a week.
The chair's been given 12 months.
I think the cerebral assassin might have had something to say about that too, didn't you?
What, in regards to the taxi ride? Or
the whole thing.
But I'm actually going to talk about what they did to... I've gone completely blank. The training exercise that they did
with Brayshaw
and Gaff. They made a big... This was a big tunnel while they were kicking through goal, and then they were yelling Brayshaw slurs at training, being filmed.
Mainly one guy, and I think they said they were going to deal with it in-house, but, it was stupid.
I think Simo's come out and apologised, and they had Gaffey on 94.5, and he said he'd even hear the comment when he was actually kicking the ball, so...
Look. It was, but if you go to any of these open or closed, whatever, if you're fortunate enough, you go to a closed training session, and if you've ever played football and been in any other football environment at training and stuff like that, the guys do say stupid things. Yep. It's part of the bonding. It's part of the mucking around. And think regrettable things get said. But in that environment, not realising there's a camera there filming a bit of the session and everything else, none of them would have cared. We would have been on off the... collar remark for them, just to try and put him off for a bit of fun. It just got blown right out of proportion. The footy players haven't having a training session. It was a bit of a shame. But anyway, what else we got, Mel? Anything else?
Only other thing that is a positive is the footy show's coming back for its final hurrah in finals week. And you're pulling a face at me, John.
I'm
just
always sick of hearing about the footy show.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about the footy show.
So five people to tune in and watch that.
Yeah.
So we're 10 minutes in, Mel. I think we've given her... That's her quota for the day, is it, Ewan?
I would have thought, though, yeah.
Beautiful.
That's enough. Okay.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks for the show.
Don't ask me for the news if you don't want it, mate.
Is that the news?
That was excellent, mate. You covered a lot there. And what we're going to do now is just cross straight over to Chris. Let's have a look at the rest of the games and do some quick predictions.
Yep, okay. Well, after the Eagles beat the Bombers Thursday night and the Swans down the Hawks last night, we only have four to preview. We've got Melbourne and Freo at the G later this morning. Freo have won 8 of the past 10 games against the Ds. 3 of the 10 have been in Darwin with another 3 wins at the G. I think the Dockers will win this one again. Mel?
Yeah, I think I've picked the Dockers too, haven't I, John? I've given you my run sheet and you've got my tips in front of you.
You've picked the Dockers, Mel.
Yep, there we go.
I'm a bit on the fence on this one, but I'm going to go the Ds because it's in Melbourne.
I don't care who wins. All I care, I hope the Ds come out and belt the living suitcases out of them. They've got to travel to the MCG and then come back here to Perth. We've got the week off. Come on, Scotty Goodwin. Get them fired up. Beat the living suitcases out of them. Next game.
Yep, we've got St Kilda, Brisbane at Marble Stadium this afternoon. Brisbane have only won once outside of Queensland this year when they beat North at Marble Stadium in round 2. I do think this will be a close forward affair again, but I think the young Lions will win just.
Yep, Lions for me.
Lions for me too.
Lions.
Okay, Port Adelaide, Geelong at Adelaide Oval this evening.
Cats.
Geelong haven't won coming off the bye in ages. Port needs a win. Harry Taylor's 250. Cats.
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 Meow. Okay, Doggies, Collingwood tomorrow afternoon. Big week for the Pies for all the wrong reasons. I just think Collingwood coming off the bye will be too strong for the Dogs.
Pies.
Pies.
As much as it hates you.
Last week,
Pies to the Crows, Blues, Suns, Giants, Roos and Tigers. So we'll Move straight on to Craig there. How our injury list? How is our injury list looking there? Cerebral assassin.
Well, it seems to be getting shorter and shorter each week, which is a good sign. But so we've still got Ed Curnow with the ankle, Liam Jones concussion with testing, and Josh Luca with his hammy. So hopefully with the bye round this weekend, those three might be good to come back next week. Tom Williamson with the back, probably 1 to 2 weeks. Liam Stocker with the foot, 2 to 3 weeks. And, of course, Sam Doherty with the knee out for the year. And now, you guys on the panel wouldn't be aware of this, but this is massive injury news. And I only got this morning on the way in from my inside sources. But it's to do with our man, Charlie Curnow.
Don't do it to me.
Yeah. So after his 7-goal haul on the weekend, hospitals all around the country this week have been reporting an unprecedented influx of women presenting with broken hearts.
That's it for the injury list. In there, on Charlie, how good. He's got 10 goals in the last two games under Teague. Everyone's saying it's Teague's new change of game plan that has opened him up. Sorry, John, you're looking at me like I'm chewing up more time.
Make it fast.
But how's that? 10 goals in the last 2 weeks.
Excellent. It's been excellent. Anyway.
Apparently that's Teague's plan, and he's had that in place since August last year.
So it wasn't getting through then.
Yeah, message wasn't getting through.
Maybe.
Just to twist the knife and bolts back just a little bit more. Good on you, Teague. Yeah. Okay, let's move on back. Let's go back to Mel. Any specific Blues news or milestones coming up, mate?
Start with birthdays. Happy birthday to Daisy Thomas for yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Well played last week as well in his 250th.
Yep.
And, guys, I am going to shout out a very, very happy birthday to Alma Pierce. She has been a dedicated Carlton supporter since 1882. Her dad was actually one of the first Carlton's His name was Mick Whelan. She has been supporting the Blues ever since. She actually got a nice little visit from Sam Petreski-Seaton and Will Sederfeld during the week. And then the club actually got her to go to the ground. And she got presented a cake by Murph and Simo and Daisy Pierce, the AFLW.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So that's she's awesome. Very special to the team.
Absolutely. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to skip the Ewok and I'm going to go straight to Craig for the Northern Blues review, just because we're a little bit time constrained for our first segment, and we'll go back to that after the break, I think. So, okay. Mate, how did the Northern Blues go last week in the Magoos?
Well, I think we all know what the final result was, but in the essence of time, I might just keep it a bit brief. But Northern Blues went down to Footscray by 54 points at Icon Park. Jack Silvani and Matthew Owies were the two outstanding performers on the day. But a positive for the Northern Blues in the opening half was a continued re-emergence of Alex Johnson, who made his long-awaited comeback from injury last week. Johnson continued to build his confidence down back, and he collected 10 disposals in the opening half and finished with 16 for the game.
Great story. Well done, Alex.
Matty Kennedy finished with 29 disposals, and he was relentless in his efforts all afternoon with his contest around the ball, while Darcy Lang wasn't too far behind with 26 of his own. So final score was Northern Blues 10-7, 67 to Footscray, 17-19, 121. The goal scorers for the day, Owies finished with 5, Silvani 3, and Fasolo and O'Dwyer 1 each. And the best players on the day and those putting their hand up for senior selection would be Owies, Cottrell, Silvani, Kennedy, Lang and Goddard.
Yeah, and well done to Jack Silvani getting dropped, as many people thought, maybe a little bit unfairly. Interesting selection decision, but he's taken it the right way, gone in there and performed.
Yep,
and that's what we want. And Darcy Lang as well continues to build and perform now. It was good to see Owies and Cottrell in amongst the guys putting their hands up. Yep. So that youth and that depth, it is slowly building for us.
Isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it is. Righto. Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to our first ad break. When we come back, we'll have our illustrious president, Mark Lagoudichet, on the line to talk all things Carlton and how he became a Carlton supporter and all things Blues. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Breakfast with the Blues. You are hosted again by your WA Blues, official Carlton Football Club Network supporter group in WA, presented by myself, Chairman of the WA Blues, John Allen, with fellow panellists Mel, Chris, and the cerebral assassin, Craig Beck. Time now to cross live, as discussed earlier before the break, to a man who in the last decade has channeled his lifelong devotion to the old Dark Navy Blues into various roles at the Carlton Football Club. Much renowned as a master negotiator with a wealth of successful business experience in the private sector, this man has served his time as an inner blue Carltonian, Carlton Football Club director, and in June of 2014 became the 30th president of the Mighty Blues. Despite what the more commercial-driven media may say, he has always generously given his time to the football stakeholders who count to him the most, the Carlton people. I speak, of course, of the man who has in great part pulled our beloved club out of the fiscal mire, set a clear path for our sustained on-field success, our illustrious leader, President of the Carlton Football Club, Mr. Mark Legudashay. Good morning, Mark, and welcome for the first time to Breakfast with the Blues.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on, and thank you for that very kind introduction.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Mark, at times you have been maligned for maybe not being at the forefront and in the face of the media as much as those who perhaps relish that sort of stuff, like Jeffy and Eddie and these sort of guys who love getting their face and making statements in front of the media, as Gary Wright spills my coffee on the desk. Hey, Gary, good on you, Gary. mate, is there any particular reason for that? Does it really matter that much in the big scheme of the process? Are you just very, very focused on running a successful football club?
Look, I have a view. I have a view that we at the football club have lots of good, strong people and leaders of the club that give a running commentary on a week-to-week basis of what's going on at the football club. We've got a CEO, Kane Little, and a football manager in Brad Lloyd, and we've got our players and our coaches that give our members across the country an up-to-date, keep our members up-to-date on what's going on at the football club. I just don't feel it's appropriate, necessary for a president of a football club to be giving a regular running commentary of what's going on at the football club. You know, others might have a different view, but I think importantly, the role of the president and its board is to govern the club, bring good people into the club, and to make sure that those people that we bring in are aligned to our strategy. So that's sort of my view is what a president and its board should be doing.
Yeah, well said, mate. And especially Kane Liddell, we've had him on the show, and he's always been generous and very good speaker. And yeah. So anyway, look, I'm going to cross you over to Mel for a question.
I think it's appropriate that, you know, I mean, our responsibility is to our members and right across the country as a board. You know, I make myself available to our members wherever they might be in the country, whether that's a local footy game here in Melbourne or at the appropriate time when we're over in WA. We make ourselves available to our members.
Absolutely. Mel, what do you got for us?
Good morning, Mark. It's Mel Hall here. How are you today?
Very well, Mel, and you?
Very well, thank you, very well. Thanks again for getting on board with Brekkie with the Blues, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. Mark, you've been around the club as a board member of some description for a better part of a decade now. During the lowest of the club's dire financial struggles and then helping them rise from the ashes, how important was it with strong executive support to be able to utilise your business prowess, negotiation skills and networking ability to put the club in such a strong position that it now is? And what challenges do we face for the future?
Well, that's a great question, Mel. I could keep you on the line for hours here answering this one.
Could keep you on the line for hours asking as well.
Mark knows I love a chat. Don't you, Mark? We've caught up a few times.
Yeah, we have. That's fine. I'm in no rush. So, I'll try and answer that in different parts. Importantly, you need to have money to invest in your football departments, and you need money to invest in overall. You need to have money to invest in your entire football club to make sure that our athletes across all our teams get the right investment, so that ultimately we can win premierships. So we set about putting together recently the Carlton Way, which is an update of our strategy for the overall club. And if I can just, probably the best way to answer your question is to give you some of the headline numbers. You know, this year we planned aggressively to get to 60,000 members. Now, we're currently just over 62,000, and we think we're going to get to 63,000 members across the country. The members are our priority in everything we do, and the more and more members we get is more and more people that are connected to the Carlton Football Club. We've got a very substantial supporter database. We know there's over 600,000 Carlton supporters in the country, so we need to make sure that we are some way being connected to those supporters that are not necessarily members today. Our Carlton in Business members goes from strength to strength. You know, we've got a large corporate network across the country, and our Carlton in Business members, we're currently at almost 130 members, that gives us a pool of organisations that could potentially be the next sponsors of the Carlton Football Club. But right now, we've got a reasonably full book of sponsors. We've got our jumper, back and front and shorts all committed for the next 4 years. We've got Virgin, Hyundai and La Trobe University. We've got our venue partner, Icon, that is secured for the next 5 years. So from a sponsorship perspective, from a corporate network perspective, and from a membership perspective, we're on track to hit record in those areas. Ultimately, all of this is about winning premierships, because let's face it, at the end of the day, as members and supporters of the football club, we want to win premierships. And, you know, our AFLW team went from bottom of the ladder last year. We brought in the right people. We made changes. And, you know, we played in a grand final. And that was an amazing achievement. Our men's team, well, we believe we've got strong talent. We think we've got, we made changes last year after a review of the football department. We believe we've got the right people in place in our football department, bringing Andrew Russell across. Brad Lloyd came across. Len Villani in the administration with Meg McCarthy. And we've made other changes across the club structurally that we believe will help us improve. I sort of hope that sort of gives you, as far as our debt is concerned, we've reduced our debt by $1 million already this year. So I hope that sort of gives you a bit of a general picture. But all of this off-field, all the off-field metrics, I suppose, and KPIs, is all about being able to reinvest in our football teams. And last year, over the last 2 years, we've invested $1.6 million more than we did the previous year in our football department. So I suppose, to put it bluntly and in a nutshell, unless you actually have the money to invest, well, then you can't invest and then you can't win premierships. So it currently doesn't reflect on the field with our men's team, but we are very confident that it will very soon.
It's very exciting.
I hope that sort of gives you a bit of a, probably a long answer, but it's an important one to understand that you need to have off-field right to get the on-field right.
Thanks very much for that, Mark. And look, everyone at that level, the executive level of the club, has done a fantastic job turning it around. So, you know, no modesty required there, Mark, but thanks to yourself and to the entire team there for what they're doing at the club. And we love a good look. We're all about the long answer here, so don't worry about that. apparently we are all about the long answer here, and that's something that I need to improve on, is cutting people off. But anyway, I'm going to cross over to Chris.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Chris here. How are you doing?
Very well, Chris, and you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Mark, let's go right back to the beginning. Can you explain to us and the listeners when and how you became a Blues supporter, what it meant to you, and what it still means to you now as a very proud president of our famous club?
Well,
bet you can't keep this one short.
Well, look, I'll try and keep it short, but I suppose I was a kid. I had a cousin that followed football, and he barracked for Carlton, and he just, I guess, got me on the Carlton bandwagon. And then I started going to the footy with a friend of mine from about the age of 12, and been a Carlton supporter ever since. And then from the time I was 18, my father was a Carltonian for a long, long time. My whole family are Carlton supporters. My wife Ellie is a Carlton supporter, and her family in the past sponsored players. And so we've had this, I guess, close connection to the Carlton Football Club. And then back in June 2010, and I still am a Carltonians member and an Inner Blue member, and so back in June 2010, I got asked to come on the board by Stephen Kernahan, the great Sticks, to try and help, generate some change at the football club. And then in June 2014, I had the privilege and the honour to be asked to be president, and I've taken on the task. And I'm at the end of the day, I'm a member and a supporter of Carlton, and with the privilege of being the president, and it's a great honour. And I guess right across the footy club, all we want to do is what's in the best interests of the Carlton Football Club. And so that's the short answer.
Mark, good morning. It's Craig here. I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, but certainly looking forward to next week. But I just wanted to move away from footy for a moment, if I may, and talk about Mark the businessman. You hold a number of corporate roles outside of the footy club, and one of which, obviously inspirationally, is a supporter of the RCH1000, raising funds for the Royal Children's Hospital. But for the benefit of our listeners who may harbour similar aspirations in the corporate entrepreneurial world, knowing what you know now, if you could go back to when you were setting out, what's the one single best piece of advice you would give your younger self?
I have this little saying that opportunity and timing never marry. So what I mean by that is opportunities always come across your desk present themselves in life, but the timing is not always right. And so I think the most important thing is take those opportunities, and that they can only come if you've got great people around you. So importantly is when the opportunities come, if you feel it's the right thing to do, because the timing is never right, but if you think it's the right thing to do, then take the opportunity, grab the bull by the horns, as they say, and go for it. That is always my advice to anyone really. But importantly, you've just got to have good people around you. And I'm very, very lucky that in the businesses that I've got have an interest in, including the Carlton Football Club, you know, Lamana Premier Group, Crawford's Group. We've got great people, and I'm very, very lucky that I've got a very I've got a great family with a great wife and kids that allow me to spend the time in all these areas, including you know, things that I'm passionate about. And one of those is in kids, and that's why I was on the committee originally of the RCH1000. And it's more about raising money for research at the Royal Children's Hospital. I suppose across the country there's a lot of philanthropy, but governments don't give enough. They give a lot to the hospitals, but they don't give enough to research for diseases, cures that they might not have answers to. So I think, you know, it's been a passion of mine. I haven't been able to spend a lot of time on it. As of late, I've been spending a bit more time on the Carlton Football Club, so which is another passion. So, but I think take the opportunity while it's there. That's the bit of advice I can give anyone.
Yeah,
okay. And we certainly applaud your work with the RCH1000. So it's good to give back. Important to give back where and whenever you can. Mate, we've got a few minutes left. I've got to be fairly quick, but just a quick one, mate. Tough times a few weeks ago. Teague's done a great job just turning a negative into a positive. But in regards to parting ways with the great Bolts, look, he was such a devoted bloke, really good bloke as well. I met him a few times at seminars in Melbourne. It was a real privilege, and it must have been tough times. You were there when Sticks had to deliver the news to Rats, and, of course, there was a much-vaunted Malthouse appointment and sacking. Well, you've been around through all of that. So what are we looking for now to take the club forward, this incredibly talented young and emerging list we've got? I know you're not going to be able to give away too much, and hopefully it's a short answer because we've literally got a few minutes left. Yeah. But what are we looking for in the future for our next coach?
Oh, look, I think one thing's for sure, that we have talent on our list. There's no doubt about that. And I do want to touch on, now that you mentioned Brendan Bolton, he's done a great job for this football club. Always put the Carlton Football Club first. But I guess the tough calls are, you know, looking forward as a football club. You always need to keep looking forward about what the football club needs. There's no doubt we've got the right talent. We've put a criteria together at the moment for what the football club is, or what our football team is going to require in a coach. We're currently assessing that criteria against who might be available. But obviously we are mindful that we've got a very young, talented group of people that are emerging. together with what the list might look like in the next 1, 2, and 3 years, we need a coach that is going to be able to understand the talent that we've got. So we don't need a coach that's going to come in and say, you got it all wrong, we're going to turn the place upside down, and we're going to start again. We're not looking for that. That's probably not the right coach for us.
So we're not asking for much. We just want the next McHale, Kennedy, or Brassy. Just the next one.
Well, that's it, I suppose. At the end of the day, we're looking for a strong leader who can lead our football team to win premierships. In a nutshell, that's what we're looking for.
Now, one more quick one, Chris. I'll be quick. Been dying to ask this one. Go ahead.
And Mark, you know, our greatest rivals, Collingwood, they have a radio show that follows us. And last week they interviewed their president, Eddie Maguire. And Eddie offered to fly them over, sit him in a section of the G because of the great job they do over in the West. I'm just throwing out a challenge there, Mark.
Don't be afraid to whack him.
What are you asking me?
No. I'm not asking you anything. I'm just letting you know what Eddie said to them on the radio that day. Such a great job they do. They're going to fly him over, put him up in a section, et cetera, et cetera. I was just throwing it out there, Mark.
Well, you guys do a fantastic job over in the West, as do all our supporter groups across the country. And you know that any time that you're over in Melbourne, you are more than welcome to come along to our President's Club, and I would look forward to hosting.
So that's a no, Ewok. Ewok, that's a no. You're not Dylan Sheil. Fly over yourself, buddy.
But I'm a chance, Mark. I'll be there for the Adelaide game. I'll come and see you. I'll see you next weekend.
You should let Mel Sweet talk. That's what we should be doing here.
We should, but then that'll be another 10 minutes. Guys, we do got to wrap it up. Mark, thanks very much for coming in, mate. And look, on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thanks very much. Not only for generously giving up your time today, but for being the major influence and stakeholder in pulling our great club out of that financial mire, which you've done a fantastic job of course. We look forward to seeing you next week. Another great groundbreaking
match. I look forward to catching up, John.
Mate, it's going to be another 500-plus Blues supporters, just being positive, and everyone's looking forward to seeing you there, mate. So as we always say over here in the West and over there in the East, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Thanks Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Mark McGurdy, show you everyone. So that was a great interview. He's much maligned in the media as a guy who doesn't get in the face, and they accuse him often of, you know, being the silent president and all of that stuff. But if you've ever been involved in any functions to do with Carlton, he's a Carlton person. He saves all of that for the Carlton stakeholders. He doesn't give it out freely. So. Yeah, it was great chatting with
him. Do you know what he actually does, though, too? The last event I was at, once I've got to know him over the years, he actually stakes you out and says, thank you so much for making the effort, coming over and supporting us. He's just lovely. It's great.
He does. We've got to go to a break, but, of course, when we come back, the much-vaunted shirt front with David Rees-Jones. It's going to be a ripper this week, and the weekly whack, and we'll cover the game last week with Reese and Go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA, be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. Coming off my two-hour power nap, you're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Carlton Football Club network supporter group, the WA Blues, and presented by myself, Chairman of the WA Blues, John Allen, with fellow panellists Mel, Chris, and the cerebral assassin, Craig Beck. At this time of the program, we delve deeper into the depths of the Blues' performance last week, review the upcoming game, which of course is next week during the bye, lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, the Shirt Front. And a very warm welcome at this time goes out to a great friend of the WA Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, fan favourite, and also a huge fan of the behavioural awareness officers at the footy. I speak, of course, of none other than our very own David, the Hyphen Reece Jones. Good morning, Hyphen. Have you put in your...
Good morning. How's it going, guys? Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend. We can't get beat this weekend, so it's a good one.
Mate, have you put in your application to be a behavioural awareness officer, mate?
I would be the last person you want. I couldn't care what they got. Put it this way, what was said to me over the fence over years and years, I should be permanently scarred for life.
You could have gotten around in the high vis.
Absolutely. Mate, just on the game last week, we almost snatched it by playing less than half of a game of footy, essentially, the way it went. Not discrediting the Doggies, who took their opportunities, but what did you make of the big fail from the game, which was the lack of desire to tackle, was what I felt, and particularly given they dropped Jack Silvani, who incredibly had 11 tackles on the weekend in the VFL.
Yeah, look, I thought our pressure, especially early in the match, was pretty ordinary, but the one thing, we had basically two periods of football where we dominated the game, and we almost took it off. You know, in just playing well in two periods of the game, which was surprising, but also disappointing. I hate to keep harping on the young blokes and that, but, they do, even from week to week, but even during games, they can be up and down a little bit, but, we've just got to get more consistent for 100 minutes and we're going to be around the mark. So it's those patches that really let us down. It was a really slow start too again, similar to what we did against Brisbane, but we're able to claw our way back, and we just couldn't get there on the weekend.
Yeah, it's true. When we do put the pressure on, we can squeeze any team, but we just didn't do it for long enough, did we? Craig, over to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Charlie Curnow, 8 goals in 8 games this year. We know he's had that bruising on the knee there, but he's just now added 10 goals to his tally in the last 2 games. I'm thinking another making of a young Cooter here. What do you think?
Oh, look, this kid could be anything. And I think, you know, I mean, I think it was Dermot Burrett halfway through last year actually said that he thinks he'll rapidly be the number one player in the competition. I've got no doubt that bone bruising he did have impeded him a fair bit. I think he's just really coming through that at the moment without too much soreness, because he really is an athlete. He relies on his running and jumping and marking ability, but he just looked out of sorts, even with his running, for quite a few weeks. So I'd put it down to that. I just think while it didn't enable him not to play, it just hindered him enough to take that little bit of brilliance away from him.
Mm. Morning. Hi, Fitzmel. How are you going today?
G'day, Mel. Good, good, good. I'm sure you're enjoying the World Cup this weekend.
I knew you were going to have a dig. I knew you would. but I'm going to move right on. calling a spade a shovel, what are your thoughts on the umpire directors at the moment and, in general, the inconsistency in all the games across the board? They just seem confused. And that's not
No doubt about it. I think it's the worst I've seen of umpiring for forever. I don't think I've ever seen so many decisions either not played at one end, played at the other. As you say, the inconsistencies, and I've never seen it like this before. And you can understand why people get frustrated. You know, I mean, people yelling out of the crowd and calling, an umpire bald-headed flog or something. Gee, I've been sitting there watching the television, and I've been calling a lot worse than that.
So, I can imagine.
Having the TVs you've gone through this year?
Yeah, well, a few of them had a VB stubby sitting out there. Yeah. It's a bit hard to explain to the insurance company, but anyway. The one thing is, everyone else in the game can be criticised, and the umpires apparently can't be. And even if they have a poor game, I mean, I think we need a bit more accountability. Umpires are out there; they're an important part of our game. I respect the umpires and what they've got to do, but they also need to be accountable. They don't need to be sheltered like they have been for too long now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a bit symptomatic of what the AFL is doing across the board with everything at the moment with control. So the players are overcoached, the umpires are overcoached, they're sending down these behavioural bloody, what are they called? The behavioural awareness officers, I think that's going to get pulled back. But yeah. AFL, let go of the reins a little bit, let the football people and the supporters take a bit of ownership of the game back, because that's what it needs. But anyway, we'll go over to Chris for the next question.
Morning, David. We have the bye this week, which is well timed for the boys ahead of the big road trip over here to Perth. Given that we will have relatively rested and fresh young legs, as my tongue gets tight, how will that bode for us, and what do you think the faithful over here can expect from the boys?
Oh, look, I think it's going to be great, and it's going to help us. I don't know, it's going to help every team. If you have that week off, it certainly freshens you up. But even a kid like Sam Walsh, I've just been watching him over the last few games, and he's just been labouring a little bit. I think, the toll of week in, week out, and he's been fantastic, don't get me wrong there, but just his last couple of weeks, he's just seemed to be, pushing a bit, and I think the week off will do wonders for him and quite a number of our younger players. But, we're in a situation where we need a reset, really, and just look at this back half of the year and say, well, look, they need to plan how many wins they're going to look at it and say, realistically, can we win three or four? And that's what they should be really aiming at. And hopefully, it'll be good. Charlie, as I said before, he's had a disappointing the first half of the year, and he seems to be back in form. So that's a massive upside for us. And we just need a few others to McGovern and so forth to get on track, and I think we'll be okay. Yeah.
So you need to get down to the game today and watch the Dockers play Melbourne, sneak into the change room, a bit of itching powder in the undies for the Dockers, and hopefully Melbourne...
I've got four tickets to that match sitting in my car now, and I can't give them away. So,
and sorry, guys, again, my itching powder.
It's snowing over here, so the Melbourne supporters must be there, and there's not too many Preo supporters here, so I don't think there'll be too many there.
Well, hopefully Melbourne just give them a belting. Whether they win, lose, or whatever, make it tough for them over there. It'd be fantastic for us over here for next week. Mate, we're actually going to have to wrap that up. We've got a few other things today, so it's a little bit shorter than normal. Yep. But before we do, you were talking to me earlier on the phone. You're picking up your daughter from a bit of volunteer work she was doing, mate. Give her a little plug. Tell us about what she's doing there. go on.
Yeah, look, she loves horses, and so she's doing a little bit of volunteering with the riding for the disabled over here. So on a Saturday morning, she gets up and helps out with the horses and so forth, which she actually said to me, she said, volunteering, she said she'd pay to do it. So, yeah, she really loves the horses. So, picking her up at the moment, which is good.
What a ripper. Well done to her. And, mate, thanks very much as always. We do have to wrap it up there. Always a pleasure. Big game next week over here in the West. We've got our massive pre-match function, and we're hoping to snag a win and have a big Sunday session night afterwards over here at the Empire. And we hope to catch up with you eventually soon, but whenever that may be. But for now, as we always say, go Blues.
Go Blues. Thanks, David.
Cheers,
Blues, and I will keep an eye on the dockets today and report back next week.
Excellent. Thanks very much, mate. Always a pleasure. The Hife. Another excellent insight into the game last week, and we'll see how the Dockers go this week during our bye round, and we'll next Saturday we'll have a chat and just try and analyse that. And he mentioned Sam Walsh, and he's a ripping kid. He has been looking like he's getting
he's
a little bit labouring, but you know what?
How lucky
are we to have an 18-year-old kid? Oh. Who's in his first year, labouring a little bit, still getting in the high 20 possessions
still,
and giving it his all. It's just, you'd be talking about he's looking like he's labouring a bit at the halfway point of the bye with a senior player, experienced player. To say that about an 18-year-old kid who's still getting those 20s, it's just, we're lucky to have him. It's
amazing. Very lucky, very fortunate.
And, we've got a little bit of time, so what we will do is just quickly talk about, firstly, next week, the pre-match function.
Yeah.
So for all the WA Blues supporters out there, it will be at the Empire, Sunday the 30th. We open the doors. They're opening early for us at 10 a.m. Proceedings will start from about 11 a.m. with club officials down there at 11:30. We've got Mark Lagudashay and Kane Liddell will be present, mingling with the supporters. We've got Shane O'Sullivan's going to be interviewing Davey Ellard, our fan favourite. We've had him on the show this year as well. Also, Peter Bazusto, the Buzz. And our very special guest that was confirmed this week is Sam Doherty. He's going to come down to the function as well. And we've got a very special jumper that'll come with AFL Certificate of Authenticity now, signed by Sam. And every Carlton member who attends a pre-match function will get a free ticket for that one. We've got our huge raffle for that game as well, the paid raffle for the team signed jumper, custom framed by our friends at Master Picture Framers on Albany Highway in Cannington. Sponsor of ours, get on them. All Blue supporters get a 20% discount. Thanks Blair and Maria Buckingham for their wonderful support. I'm not going to go through the prizes. We got 7 or 8 prizes in this raffle. It's amazing.
Incredible.
A couple of great auction pieces we've got. The Patrick Cripps signed jumper. Again, custom framed by Master Picture Framers. A certificate of authenticity from the AFL. That'll be getting auctioned. And the Indigenous Guernsey signed by the Indigenous boys on the Carlton squad, which now the rare Jared Pickett signatures on that one, along with Jared Garlett, Sam Petrosky-Seaton, Kim LaBoyce, and Jonesy, Liam Jones. So that's going to be a real hot item, that one. And then we've got the team signed football, specially mounted in an acrylic box, so get on to that one. Now, we missed it last week because we ran out of time, and it's still appropriate because he's been in there again, being mischievous in the media, stirring up other supporters. So the weekly whack this week is going out to our good friend, Dear Kane, All About Me Corns. Kane. So this was written before the round 12 game that we won against the Bulldogs, okay? So just bear with that as I read this one out. Dear Kane, All About Me Corns. Before last week's round 12 game, the widely regarded best number one prospect of all time had in his first year played all of those first 11 games, averaging over 24 possessions a game. On the weekend, which was the Western Bulldogs game, he amassed 32 possessions playing through the midfield, positioning himself with the guile of a Sam Mitchell, bursting away with the fleet foot of a Peter Matera, and executing his skills with the silk of a Sean Burgoyne. This 18-year-old prodigy is already a leader, Kane, dragging his teammates along and saying, "Follow me." Dear Kane, frontal lobotomy recipient of the year, Corns. Do you really think for a second that by trying to trump your previous headline-grabbing statements that hardly grabbed a handful of feathers, by trying to come up with the most ridiculous statement of the history of Australian rules journalism, for loss of a more appropriate term, that you would garner any respect, debate or credit from any of your former playing days peers or anyone for that matter? Yours is not even an opinion, Kane. So you can't fall back on your old it's an opinion-based industry, backtracking garbage so often spews from your lips whenever you're exposed. Your statement was nothing more than Kane will almost do anything for a Snickers bar, Corns, trying to grab some attention so that those who love to hate you and therefore can't stop waiting to hear what you have to say next will lift your numbers and increase your tabloid contract worth. Dear Kane, media grub Corns, it's not just Carlton people that are sick and tired of listening to your obvious crap. It's anyone who has had a great player at their club that they support being subjected to filth reporting, character assassination, all in the name of the always all about you, Kane, trying to increase your kudos. No respect to Rosie Kane, me, Corns. For Rosie, with good management, will be remembered as an exciting player in his own right, but to question the decision to select Sam Walsh, to undermine Sam's worth and to flippantly say he was a safe pick who doesn't break lines, to say we should have picked a type of player like Rosie, who often, these players just can become flashes in the pan, just shows that you are a joke of a human, because you know you're wrong, but your intention isn't to be right, it's to be provocative. Grab a brain, Kane. Stop pretending to be insane, Kane. We've had enough, mate. Okay, so I'm going to just borrow a tune from Eric Clapton here, as I just want to say to you, Kane, from everyone at the WA Blues, we don't like, we don't like, we don't like you, Kane. And on that note, it's goodbye from everyone at Breakfast with the Blues. Have a great weekend. Have a great footy weekend. We'll see you back here next Saturday. Go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues.